Good afternoon. This is Jack Marks, publisher of Wall Street Reporter. And today I am speaking with Jerry Flum. He's the chairman and CEO of Credit Risk Monitor, which trades on the bulletin board. Stock symbol is CRMZ. Jerry, thank you for joining us.
You're welcome. Glad to be here. Good opportunity for me to speak about what we do and how we feel about markets.
Great. So, Jerry, based on your company's name, I'm assuming that you're in the credit reporting industry.
Yes. But we're in a very special part, Jack.
Tell me about your
part of it. And we analyze companies, not individuals. In other words, what we really do is we don't analyze your individual credit. We analyze companies who are selling to each other. In other words, when you walk into a store and you buy a TV set, you are not walking out of that store unless you give somebody in that store a credit card, a check, or cash, or you're not walking out with the TV set. However, in the business-to-business world, what happens is Company A sells 500,000 widgets or $500,000 worth of widgets to Company B. Company A sends the widgets from its place to Company B and then sends a bill. So the widgets leave the factory and go to Company B, and then a bill goes out, and it says to Company B, you owe us $500,000, and the terms are 210 net 30, which means that if you pay me in 10 days, I'll give you 2% off the bill, but you need to pay me in 30 days. Now, it could vary a little bit. It could be 2%, 20 days payment, and you have to pay me in 60 days. But what happens is there's an extension of a trade credit. And that trade credit right now, the extension of credit by companies to other companies is probably now the second or first largest credit function in the world. In other words, it exceeds bank loans. It exceeds, because every company is selling on credit to another company. And it's a huge liability. It is essentially the accounts receivable of the seller, and essentially it's most of the accounts payable of the buyer. A huge extension. Now, we analyze companies. Our clientele are large companies who are looking at other companies that they sell to make the determination, which they have to make very quickly, whether, in fact, that company they're selling the goods to and sending the goods to, whether that company will pay them, or number two, if it does pay them, will pay them in a timely manner. Because if they pay them late, Company A, who sells, doesn't get the cash back, then they don't have enough cash to make inventory for the next sale. It's called working capital. And it is at the very heart of the credit function for all major corporations on the planet. And we analyze that in real time with computers and do it all over the world. We're analyzing between 40 to 45,000 public companies all over the world who are looking at each other, and also small companies and private companies looking at each other. But they're looking at these big companies, and we have data on probably 6 to 10 million private companies. But the data we have on the private companies is not as extensive as the information we really have on the public companies. Okay,
so Jerry, the question I have is, how is Credit Risk Monitor different from, let's say, Dun & Bradstreet?
Dun & Bradstreet is our major competitor. It is the largest guy in the business. There's basically darn close to a monopoly position in the sense that these guys own 70 to 90% of the market. And they do a great job. They've done a fabulous job at doing this. However, most monopolies over time have a fatal flaw in them. And basically what happens is they get away from the market. They overprice and underdeliver. Not because they're bad guys, because that huge market position in effect gives them the strength to do that. And we are in that situation in our marketplace. In other words, we are selling to customers who are also D&B customers. When we speak to people on the phone to buy our service, they are already D&B customers. And what happens is when they buy our product, they can now cut their D&B bill dramatically, 60, 70, or 80%. They cut their bill because our stuff is an all-you-can-eat contract, and we're very, very inexpensive. And we charge, we have several different services, but the basic service where we follow all companies in the U.S., Canada, and the Caribbean is $4,000 a year for all-you-can-eat. And for the international service, it's another 4,000 for another 30,000 companies all over the world. So combined, the whole service is $8,000 or $9,000 for the entire year, unlimited access. So
how much does DMB charge for this?
Depending on the size of the company, it can be anywhere between a $50,000 to $300,000, $1 million contract. And if people buy our service, they therefore don't need DMB. For the companies that we follow, our research, I think most people will acknowledge, our research, if we're following a company, is the best on the planet. The problem with this is we don't follow all the companies DNB follows. They follow tons of also medium-sized, smaller private companies, and we don't have a lot of data on that. So what we tell people to do is you always keep your DNB, but you'll be able to cut your DNB bill by some factor, usually 2 to 3 times what people pay us is what they knock off their DNB bill. So it's a fabulous kind of opportunity for all these public companies. As we get to them and explain what we do, not only are we presenting a better product, but we're presenting it at a price differential that's not 5 or 10% below. It's 60, 70% below.
Okay, so you're basically offering, I guess, cost efficiency?
Well, here's the difference. The difference is that we do everything by computers. We computerized everything. We spent 10 years building this company and building the software and the algorithms, and we bring in data from all over the world. Our computers are pulling in stuff from all over and putting it into a format so that these guys can get instantaneous news, S&P and Moody's changes, any kind of financial news. Our computers are not only pulling in news from all over the world, but we're filtering out, you know, the junky stories where the president cuts a ribbon and he opens a store. Because who cares about that stuff? Our stuff is designed to filter everything down and put it on the desktop of a credit manager or a purchasing manager so he can know every single thing up to the minute on what's going on at that company. And not only that, we do very in-depth ratio analysis of companies. You break them down, annual numbers, quarter-to-quarter numbers, sequential quarter numbers, and this is on P&L's balance sheets. And we just don't break the balance sheet down. We combine ratios from the P&L and the balance sheet or the cash ratio or the cash flow statement. And so we get meaningful ratio analysis that spread over 5 or 10 years or 4 or 5 or 6 quarters in a row, so you can begin to see exactly what's going on in that company. And we rank companies. We have a Frisk score, which we back-tested into 10,000 companies over several years, so we can predict the probability of bankruptcy over the next year. So this is
that a proprietary? Is that a proprietary?
Oh, absolutely proprietary. It's proprietary, and we're running it every night. And our customers, what they do is, even though they have unlimited access to all 40, 50, 60,000 companies, they're not interested in all of those companies. So they build portfolios, which our customer service helps them build, and they have maybe 200 or 300 or 500 companies or 1,000 companies, and we're scanning every night and telling them the changes in the probability of bankruptcy so they can prioritize what they need to look at.
And how accurate is this
It's been back-tested, and it's very, very accurate. Well, look, the largest companies on the planet are our customers, and we do no advertising, and most people would claim we do no marketing, and it's all word of mouth, and it's the largest guys on the planet because the stuff is that good. Now, again, we're not trying to displace Dun & Bradstreet totally. What we're saying is in these areas, we're quicker, faster, better, and cheaper. When you look at our company, it's designed from the ground floor up to be the lowest cost producer of everything that we do on the planet. We do it by hand until we can get it systemized, until we can put it into some forms of algorithms so that we can deliver this stuff by computers. All our sales are done by the phone and internet demonstration of the product. We do not put guys on planes, trains, and cars and fly them all over the country for sales call because we don't charge enough to warrant that a guy should get on a plane and go all the way out there.
How are you marketing your service?
Our service is basically marketed by, one, the word of mouth is very, very powerful. You have the largest customers in the world. They talk to each other. They meet each other. And two, we've, in the last 2 or 3 years, beefed up our sales team where we now have close to 20 guys on phones who have lists of people that we need to call, and they can demo the entire product right over the internet. Everything we do is delivered by the internet. There's nothing that we do that we deliver by paper. So we demo the product, and the service is delivered by the internet. We could never have done this without computers and without the internet, because nobody would have ever been able to charge as little as we do. And we had to spend the first 8 years of our life, we were in negative cash flow building this product the way it is.
Okay. So let's talk a little bit about the history of the company. From what I understand, you've been around about 10 years or so?
Yes. We started actually in 97, 98. And basically, we only were able to analyze 300 companies. And so we had two things in the beginning that really slowed down the development of the company. If you're analyzing 300 companies, the only people who can buy the service are people who are selling to those 300 companies. In other words, the fact that you're analyzing a company doesn't mean that they will buy the service. It means people who are selling to them will buy the service to look at them. So that was very restrictive. In addition, and this sounds hard to believe, but in 98 and 99 and 2000, very few companies had internet access at the credit manager level. And so that was also, you know, slowly evolving. And we had to build all this stuff from scratch, and we do everything ourselves. We built everything up ourselves. Everything we have inside our house, we build. And so what happens is that you need to get to a critical level, which we attained about 2 years ago. And right now the numbers are we're growing very, very fast. We're growing roughly about 30% a year. And if you look at us, our income, we're making money, but that's not really what the story is, because we have an accounting illusion in our disillusion in the way we report. If you look at our cash buildup.
Jerry, let me ask you first about
yeah.
The company that really started growing, I guess you started hitting
the last couple of years. Yeah.
Last few years, okay. So what were your revenues, let's say, 4 years ago versus today?
4 years ago. Hold on, I'll tell you in a second. I'm just going up on our service. Hold on 1 second. Our revenue, let's see, was $3 million. That would be 1, 2, 3, 4. Well, 4 years ago, our revenue was $3.3 million, and this year will be between $7.5 to $8 million.
Okay. And let's talk about a little bit about the margins that you have and sort of the leverage.
We have extraordinarily high gross profit margins because we're selling electronic service. But what we do is we pay our sales and service people. We pay our sales guys a very high upfront commission when they sell a service. And so what happens is we take in a contract, let's say, and ours is like a subscription, so it's a recurring stream of income. What happens is we take in, when they sell, we take in 1/12 each month of the revenue they sell, but we take in on the month that we get paid for the contract or the subscription, we pay out the entire commission to the sales force. So what happens is our SG&A is temporarily overstated because we're paying out cash. We're taking in a lot of cash, but we're only showing 1 month of that cash each month. So the correct way – or not the correct way. One of the ways to look at our company is to look up the cash buildup. Like we right now have zero debt, and we're pushing roughly $5 million in cash. There's 8 million shares, so we're, you know, pushing close to 60 cents a share in cash. Our cash is equal to, it's equal to last year's sales almost. So you have tremendous buildup in cash because eventually the earnings come flying out. When you're growing very, very quickly, what happens is you pay out in commissions is overwhelming using the accounting method that we're using. If we were to adjust what we pay out our sales guys to what comes in cash, it's a very different game. There you can see the huge buildup in cash. Like in the first half of this year, I think the cash buildup is up almost $900,000 in cash. It has increased. And probably for the year, it'll probably increase $2.5 million or $2 million in cash will go up. So you know, all this is on a base last year of $4 million, roughly $4 million in cash. These are huge numbers.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about, like, Jerry, can you share with us your growth strategy for Credit Risk Monitor?
Yeah, the growth strategy is the following. Let's talk growth. What happens is we make our sales calls on credit managers all over the world, whether it be in the U.S. or in Asia or in Europe. And so that group of people represents probably the estimate is 20,000 to 30,000 of them. And we're, probably got a penetration of, 3 or 4 or 5% into the marketplace as people begin to hear about us. Because we don't do advertising and we do very little marketing because this service obviously is such a great priced versus utility function. And we have a lot of large customers now, so now it's a question of our guys making a call. So we got that marketplace. What we're also finding is that purchasing managers now are starting to buy into the service also because they need to know whether the guys they're buying from are in good financial shape, because if one of their suppliers is in weak financial shape and they can't deliver a good, you could turn the whole factory down. In other words, for want of a part, you can't make a TV set. Or for want of a part, you can't make a computer. And our customers are in every single industry, from oil to computers to semiconductors to retail to REITs. They're in every industry. So what happens is
I think this is a good – business must be good right now because of,
It's very strong. It's very strong. And it should be strong because, there is a huge credit – crisis that most people think, we've seen the bottom of it. And I honestly, God, believe we're nowhere as close to that because it's very, very, very hard for people to get access to working capital. And so you need to pay attention to this. Credit managers need up-to-the-minute instantaneous information because they need to ship. They get an order. They got to figure out if they're going to ship in 3 or 4 days. And so this is under a lot of pressure, and they need to have systems in place that allow them to analyze and stay on top of all their customers. And if you look around and talk to people, I'm telling you, we have the premier service in the business. Even though we're the lowest priced, we have the premier service. We're that unique quantity of a fabulous product with fabulous pricing. And you have to be in today's world. If you don't have this characteristic, then you've got serious trouble, in my opinion. And so we've worked.
What do you do to capture more of that market?
You hire more and more sales guys, mm-hmm. and we train them. And we've expanded our sales force dramatically in the last 2 or 3 years now. And it's a fabulous way of expansion because these guys are on the phone and can demo this product. And you have to see it to believe it. All your customers should go up on our site, www.creditriskmonitor.com or crmz.com, either one of those things. And we have a sample report, and it's the exact same report for 40, 50,000 companies all over the world, plus a lot of data on private companies, which we throw in for free.
Mm-hmm. So, Jerry, can you share with us your background and some of the key members of the
bank? Well, let's talk about one other thing. What's important in today's world? Because, as I told you, I spent a great deal of time in the investment business and understanding. Look, in today's world, for investors, they need to find counter-cyclical investments. It's absolutely critical. If you're going to be in equity markets, you've got to be in counter-cyclical markets. Well, the credit analysis of corporations is a counter-cyclical market. And it's very hard to find public companies in this community that are pure plays. There's D&B. There's Moody's, and that's about really it because S&P is owned by McGraw-Hill. And right now, S&P and Moody's are having trouble. D&B is kind of flattish in sales. We're growing 30% a year. It's very hard to find a place to put money in that kind of marketplace. Number two is, if you're going to invest in today's world, you need to try and find in small, rapidly growing companies, you need to find very, very strong balance sheets. We have zero debt and tons of cash. You need to find reoccurring streams of income. We are in a subscription business. And so what happens is our guys are buying a service, and every year they rebuy the service. And so it's not just one sale. It's an ongoing stream. And as they re-sign, we get higher and higher margins because we pay high margins on the first sale and very low commission, or we pay high commissions on the first sale and very, very low commissions we need to pay for our customer service people or our account executives who service it. So that's our business model. So as we build the base out, you get this huge base of companies that help you in profitability. You also need to have a large market, and the credit market is billions of dollars all over the world. It's accounts receivable of every 95% of most companies around the world, or their purchasing department needs this kind of stuff. And I think then you need to also have a really decent management team that really knows what they're doing. And we've been at this for a long time. Our 4 years ago, we brought in the president, who is Harvard College, Harvard Business School, 10 years, 7 years, 8 years at General Electric, 7 or 8 years at DNB, also at Metropolitan Life, you know, understands the credit business. Our head of IT went to MIT, was 9 years also at DNB, started a whole bunch of different companies. Our executive VP of finance is MBA from Harvard, University of Chicago, been one of the early founders of our company and also heads our quality control, and has been around the credit business now for 10 or 12 years, and has also run the divisions of several companies. So, you know, we have a very seasoned management team. We have other guys in the business, all of whom who have either have MBAs or head of sales as an MBA, was head of sales of a public company. So, you know, we have very seasoned guys for a small company. Very critically important. We're very process-oriented. Everything in our business, because we're so computerized, has serious control functions built into it. So you need to have that. So you need this counter-cyclicality, you need the lowest costs on the planet Earth, and you need to really live that. You need to really feel that it's important for the success of your company and build your company that way. And we did it. We spent 8 years in negative cash flow to build this company correctly, and it's built. And now it's...
Gary, I guess you just answered the question I was going to ask you, which is, you know, why should investors consider your stock today? So you answer
because
that.
Where else are they going to invest? I mean, I'm not saying you should put all your money in companies like this, but you need to have something in counter-cyclical companies that do well in bad economic times. And you need to have strong balance. You know, those are the things that investors need to understand: reoccurring streams of income. Absolutely critical if you're going to buy into small companies. And
so it looks like you're at an inflection point right now with, you know, the new growth coming in. So
The growth is coming in. Look, the numbers can't be hidden from view anymore. You just look at the quarterly. You'll see our numbers are starting to explode out.
So, Jerry, where do you see Credit Risk Monitor 3 years from now? What's the company going to look
like? 3 years? Clearly we'll be, if you grow at 15% a year, you're going to double in size every 5 years, and I'm telling you that we're growing in excess of 15% a year, so you could do the math yourself. We're probably going to be doubled in 3 years or less. It's very profitable because what happens to you is as you start to build it up, you have very high fixed costs, and then you have the only real variable cost that we have is this the first year sales, where we pay a reasonably good commission to our sales organization. That's the real serious variable, and that one's just high because we're growing like a weed.
So, in other words, you're
will be very
your actual profit margin will be a lot greater
absolutely.
than it is now right now. Okay.
And it's also going to come out in the quarterly reports over, you know, the next couple of years. And the annuals. You know, it's hard to, you know, it'll show up. Because, you know, everybody's got computers now. Everybody's running growth algorithms and running, cash flow algorithms and, you know, how quick you want the growth, how much cash you want to go, what's the return on investment. And we're going to fit into a lot of these runs because, you know, just we took this long to build a company. And again, I think having a super strong balance sheet with no debt and tons of cash is an extraordinarily important thing in today's environment, especially if you're buying into small companies.
So, Jerry, would you say that, I mean, that investors really completely understand the CRMZ story in terms of the stock? And if not, like, what is it that they're missing?
Well, for the most part, no, they don't understand the story. And the reason they don't understand the story is because they don't know about it yet. And so the stock is selling where it is. And I could look at that one of two ways. That's a huge advantage for existing investors out there. If you have an opportunity to buy in a stock at 2 or you have an opportunity to buy in at 10, my mother didn't raise me to be stupid. 2 is a better price to buy in at. So as long as the stock stays undiscovered, as long as the classical cases needed in the early development of a growth company are present, which I gave you, the balance sheets, recurring streams, blah, blah, you know, counter cyclicality, blah, 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 and good management, you know, if those things are really present, then holy crap, the best thing that could ever happen to an investor is it doesn't get discovered. So you can buy some at present prices. I mean, unless you like buying, you want to buy a 10, wait. That's a terrible thing to say, isn't it?
So, let me ask you, what are the key milestones ahead that investors can monitor over the next, several quarters? What are some of the things that you're looking to accomplish that?
Right now we are developing so many new parts of the service. The best thing for them to do at this point, on a quarter-to-quarter basis, is see how the company's cash and revenue grows, because we're opening tons of new markets with new products and new parts of our service. And there's no way an outside investor is going to monitor that. I mean, it sounds nice. I think it's a wonderful question to ask us. But at the end of the day, at least our policy is not to disclose new products that we're working on and where they're going to be. And we're a public company, and so we don't want to advertise what we're doing to the general public or to our competitors or whatever. And, you probably don't want to hear that. But at the end of the day, it's going to be in the growth of the company.
Okay. Sounds good. All right, so we look forward to following the progress in the months ahead. Jerry?
Again, I really think investors need to really pay attention to the environment that we're in. I think it's very, very critical. And I think there are few companies out there that are in places which will grow because they're taking market share from large companies or are in countercyclical businesses. And I'll give you an important ingredient that you should ask. And that is, what's the re-sign rate? And we're re-signing 10 to 11, excuse me, we are re-signing 89 to 91 or 90% of our customers get re-signed every year. And the ones that we do lose are for the most part lost because some of them unfortunately go out of business and some merge. And there's nothing we can do about that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a critical function on how well a company prices its service and how well it it maintains and services its customer base.
Great. All right. Thank you, Jerry.
You're welcome.